Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
Daddy's too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
Hump.
I love BJ's
fur circus.
Steven Ricker's testicles.
T-butted.
Boom chicka wow wow.
No, no touchy place.
Beer.
Broken penis.
Vitellary filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
And here we go. Iceman Insights on 96.9 Wired Radio.
Music bomb.
No, that's not yours anymore.
Okay, Wired Radio.
Joining us in studio, senior writer, webmaster, the man that puts Ho in Shockley. It is Michael Shockley, senior writer, webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com. For all the information on your beloved Evansville Iceman, you can check out IcemanManiacs.com. I am Derek Benigni. Michael Shockley, are you in the mood for some beaver tail?
Always.
Always. Yes, and that is in reference to my friend Wes, who, with our new affiliation, he just happened to have friends that live in Ottawa. And so he took a trip to Ottawa and watched an Ottawa Senators game and everything else. And he really? Posted on Facebook the best part of the trip, beaver tail. Yes, indeed. But he's not cheating on his lady. He is getting a donut that's over 12 inches long, but it's flat, like kind of like a funnel cake, but it's all donut, and then they put toppings on it. He got fudge icing with Reese's peanut butter, Reese's Pieces all over it with a peanut butter glaze.
Wow.
So you get to customize your beaver tail.
Does it come with a voucher for an ambulance ride?
Maybe. Not sure how he got through customs on the way back in with all that in his all that cholesterol in his system.
Wow.
But he said that was pretty funny. So you can check it out on my Facebook page, The Beaver Tail.
I didn't know where you were going. I thought maybe it was a euphemism for something.
Well, you
on this
think.
Show it usually is.
Well, and that's what no one knows here in the studio, but you have a 3-page script as you bring every week, and that one was completely off the cuff. So
yeah.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm a little concerned.
Uh-oh.
For everyone listening. We have some breaking news to start out the show.
Yes, we do.
We have breaking news, an urgent update from the Department of Affairs for Accountability Radio.
We are Accountability Sports Talk.
Which is the DAAR, or as I like to call it, the DAR.
DAR.
So the DAAR has issued a backpedaling warning for the entire Iceman fan base. Fans are advised to be on the lookout for Ryan Huff. He is described as a white male, college-aged, with brown hair and a distinct yellow streak running down his back. Should you see Mr. Huff, make sure to clear the way post-haste and avoid all contact with him as he backpedals at breakneck speeds. The warning has been issued because Mr. Huff was last week's Maniac Asylum Lunatic of the Week, because he claimed he could call a better hockey game than current Iceman broadcaster Sean Pooley. Well, Mr. Benigni, my partner here, called Mr. Huff's bluff and offered to let him come here on The Wired to call an Evansville Thunder game from Swander, but young Mr. Huff declined. And I have here Mr. Ryan Huff's official statement in response to your generous offer, and I quote, End quote. And now here is Derek Benigni with an editorial commentary on this developing situation.
I don't think there's anything left for me to say. We started this show 3 years ago. We wanted it. We are the only sports radio show in America that does accountability. We like to keep track. We like to interact with our audience via Facebook, text messaging, private email, or whatever. We love
sexting,
as we do with our man crushes and former Iceman players that we roomed with. But that's a whole nother topic. But we want to hear what your predictions are on the season. We want to hear you make claims on if you don't like your coach, tell us what coaches you want to bring in. If you don't like your general manager, if you don't like this, you don't like that, we've got no problem. Back it up with facts and tell us what you want to change and why. And we're always good with that. But we hold this fan base accountable for the crazy stuff that they say on Facebook. So before you're thinking about posting that crazy thing that you're about to put,
that crazy shapoop,
yes, on Facebook, just realize that I am reading all of it.
And once it's in writing, you can't take it away.
You cannot take it away because I know how to take web screen snippet shot thingies. What are those things called? The snipping tool?
Yeah.
Yes, I can use the snipping tool. And I've got it all saved in my computer.
And if you want him to use the snipping tool on you, just meet him in that van on 3rd Street.
What?
It's just, no. Just $69.
No. Yeesh. No. But, and they can't kick me out of the asylum because I'm one of the admins. So there you go.
Well, so I could kick you out of the asylum because I'm also an admin.
Yeah, but then I could get Brad Perkins to let me back in.
That's true, yeah.
So there you go. Wow. Chicken noises. Anyways, making moves.
A quick recap of all the Iceman transactions since our last show. Last Wednesday on the 3rd, the Iceman shifted Jarrett Lucan to reserve. He has a fractured thumb. Brian Patafi said on the pregame show last Wednesday that it's not a big deal. He's considered day-to-day, and he may actually return this coming weekend. So hopefully, because we kind of missed having him around. He's been a very solid contributor to this team so far this year. The next day on Thursday the 4th, Chris Dreger was reassigned to Binghamton by Ottawa because Binghamton's goalie, Andrew Hammond, had been recalled to Ottawa because Ottawa goalie Robin Lehner is dealing with a minor knee injury. He is expected to be available tomorrow, the 11th, when the Sens host the Los Angeles Kings. And if Lehner is indeed able to return and dress for that game, then the other guys should trickle back down, and we will probably have Dreger back within the next few days. So we'll see what happens.
I don't know. Credit to him. I mean, he's been up and down so many times, thrown right into the fire, only to take a shower with all the guys and get changed and then get right back on a bus and to the airport and fly right back down to Evansville and back and forth. So
if it's not, his nickname should be Duncan because he's been a yo-yo.
Wow, that was horrible. Just stay with what you got written down.
Okay.
All right. Buk, 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 buk. Yeah, you do have that written down.
In response to Dreger getting called up also last Thursday, the Iceman signed goaltender Ben Meisner, who played for the Fort Wayne Comets last year. As a rookie, in 24 regular season games, he had a .239 goals against average and a .919 save percentage. And then he got even better in the playoffs. In 11 games, he had a .191 goals against average and a .935 save percentage, which you don't post those kind of numbers in the playoffs in a professional hockey league unless you got some talent.
Or you have a really good team in front of you.
That's true. That helps. He is a Halifax native who had been with the Wichita Thunder this season because Tim Boron, who is their veteran goaltender, was hurt. Well, Boron is now healthy, so the Thunder released him on Tuesday of last week. He cleared waivers on Wednesday, and the Icemen wanted him, but because of an immigration technicality, Wichita had to actually trade him to us. We could not sign him as a free agent for reasons unbeknownst to me. This immigration technicality. So the Thunder re-signed him and then traded him to Evansville for cash considerations. And those cash considerations, according to Thunder Director of Communications Jason Malls, he told me that they literally accepted $1. So you don't see a player for $1 trade very often, but that was one. And Meisner made his debut for the Iceman on Friday against Kalamazoo wearing number 35.
And he didn't quite play that many minutes.
No, he did not. We'll get to that in the recap. No, it did not go the way he probably hoped it would go. Friday the 5th, the Iceman claimed Colin Murray off of waivers from Kalamazoo. He's a big 6'4" rookie forward from Oshawa, Ontario. Played 4 years of NCAA Division III hockey at Castleton State College in Vermont. And as a senior there, he had 24 points in 26 games. This year with the K-Wings, he was a healthy scratch more often than not. He did have 2 points in 6 games with them. He was kind of hanging around there for depth while they dealt with a bunch of injuries, and they're finally starting to get a little bit healthy, so he was kind of an odd man out, so they cut him, and the Iceman picked him up on waivers. He did not play for us against Kalamazoo on Friday, and Chris Phillips said that he was talking to Caden Patafi or somebody and was told that he was not allowed to ride on the bus with the K-Wings down here. Because they had released him, he had to drive on his own, even though they were coming to the same place.
Yep. There's got to be some kind of insurance thing, if the bus crashes or something like that, and he's not covered by the insurance, blah, blah, blah. So, yep.
Yep. So, in another move, on Saturday the 6th, the Iceman traded Tom Saratori to Cincinnati for future considerations.
Chuck!
He had been acquired from Toledo for futures on November 8th.
So, Chuck! Yeah.
We now owe 5 Chucks, and we are owed 3 Chucks. So the Chuck plus minus has improved to -2 for those keeping score.
I like it. We're going in the right direction.
Exactly. Trending up. And then on Monday, good news for the Iceman. Patrick Kennedy returned to Evansville by the Utica Comets. We are now 6-1-2 with him and 2-8 without him. And there's been other extenuating circumstances.
No, there hasn't.
But
no, there hasn't.
It proves we...
He is Mr. President.
So it's great when we have him, and it's not good when we don't. So that's an awesome piece of news, and hopefully he'll stick around for more than a weekend this time. But, hey, if we can have him for a weekend, that's better than nothing.
Yep, definitely.
And
a good weekend for him to come back.
Exactly, yes.
And here we go, the handwritten note.
Yes, late breaking news. Tuesday night, the Fort Wayne News Sentinel, Blake Sebring, one of the gentlemen covering the Comets in Fort Wayne, reported that because the Comets had a goaltender get called up to the AHL, they needed another one. And that other one that they have signed is none other than former Iceman netminder Garrett Bartus.
Lord Bartus,
yes.
To you.
And they have a 3-3 this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and then they're at home on Sunday. So there's a very good chance that he will start one of these 3 games, and it very well could be the middle one, as is often the case in a 3-3 situation. So we might see you, Mr. Bartus.
That would be awesome. Are you ready for some accountability radio? You and I, baby, because you're at training camp. You're all like, oh, Braden, come. He's got all these great numbers. Blah, blah, blah. He needs to stay here instead of Lord Bartus. So I will challenge you. I say Bartus has a better ECHL year than Com.
You think so?
I think so. Hmm. I'm willing to put it up to accountability radio in front of our 7 fans.
What if Bartus plays 1 game and gets a win and then never comes back?
Oh, wins. Let's go by wins. And then goal, wins. And then save percentage will be the tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker. Okay. Fair enough.
There you go.
Since
our last show.
Yeah. So since our last show,
I slept a bunch.
The Iceman went 0-2, are now 8-9-2 on the season.
Insanity level.
Yeah. Last Wednesday, 5-3 loss at Indy at the newly renamed Indiana Farmers Coliseum.
I like it.
The Fuel took a 2-0 lead in the first and never trailed after that. The Iceman did get goals by Brandon Wong, Andre Bouvet-Morissette, and Miles Bell. Chris Dreger took the loss in net, and that was actually the first time all season and in franchise history that Indy has won back-to-back games because they were coming off of a win against Cincinnati. So,
do we have the belt?
No.
Where's the belt?
We're getting to that.
Kalamazoo?
Yeah. The belt? Remember Kalamazoo hit Fort Wayne with a chair and stole
That's
it.
That's right.
Yeah. And after that loss at Indy, the Maniac Insanity Advisory Systems fan base insanity level was raised 1 level from low to guarded as determined by, this is his new title. We worked
nice.
On this. The Minister of Insanity Declarations,
nice.
Rick Llewellyn.
The mid.
He told me he wasn't a fan of Insanity Chief, so we had to brainstorm and come up with something new.
I like it.
And
the MID.
That's what the storm spit out. So, raised from Lodegaard after that win.
And oh, after it that did loss. Not get any better.
No.
As Kalamazoo coming in with an 8-game losing streak.
Yeah. 9, actually. They were 0-8-1 because they lost 2 nights before that.
Ah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, they lost the Wednesday night before. While we were losing in Indy, Kalamazoo was losing at home, and they only drew like 1,030 people to a home game. That's rough.
Oh, it's a weeknight.
Yeah.
We do the same here.
We just report twice that much. Yeah. So, yeah, the K-Wings came to town on an 0-8-1 skid, but left with a 5-2 victory. The Iceman trailed 4-0 after two periods, did rally a bit in the third, but not enough. The Iceman generally outplayed Kalamazoo and did outshoot them 37-27 in the game, but, stop me if you've heard this before, defensive breakdowns killed us. Have you heard that before?
I have heard that before, but...
sounds familiar.
I disagree with the we generally outplayed them. Outplayed them for 10 minutes in the third period. I was watching the game, and then I had someone else... I had a comment watching the game first two periods, and then a friend of mine came up to me and said, we have lost every loose puck. Every time the puck is loose along the boards, they are outworking us. And that was my exact same thought. No, I thought we looked horrible. And you could tell that after the first period with the intermission with Coach Mullins.
He was not happy.
No. And you could tell it with the scoreboard when you're losing 4-0. So, no, I didn't think they played that well at all. And also, I've got a story about that.
Oh?
I was sitting with Bill Nadeau when he received a text that the Icemen were looking for extra practice time. And he hooked them up at Swander, and they had the bag skate of the season.
After the game?
Nope.
Or the next day?
The next day. So, no. They did not outplay Kalamazoo.
They had the weekend, the rest of the weekend off, so they had plenty of time to work the kinks out. as mentioned before, Ben Meisner started that game in net, gave up 3 goals on 7 shots in the first. Brandon Kom came in, played the second and third periods, made 18 saves on 19 shots. I thought Kom did look sharp.
He did look good.
But Meisner was not why we fell behind early in that game. The first Kalamazoo goal, we just completely lost coverage in the defensive zone, and they had a guy all alone in the slot. And then the second and third goals were both on delayed penalties, and there were defensive breakdowns associated with that.
They actually worked that one delayed penalty to perfection.
Yeah.
It was really nice.
Yeah. It was... Well, and we talked about it going in, that they had the best power play on the road coming in. Even though they did not have a very good record, their power play on the road has been very good. And though those do not count officially as power play goals, they both were essentially power play goals. But yeah, I don't think Meisner getting the hook was necessarily an indictment of his play. I think that was just, you got to shake things up.
Yep.
And the team did play better once Kom came in. But, yeah, the goals were Kevin Harvey and Kale Kerbashian, and then Harvey made headlines in the third period with that major for fighting and game misconduct for being the aggressor.
Any idea what happened there?
He came out. I didn't see exactly what. It didn't look that bad to me because he came out, and it looked like he tried to hit the defenseman, and somebody said that the defenseman cross-checked him or hit him high or something. From where I was sitting, I didn't see anything.
All I saw was him jump the defenseman from behind and just start wailing.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, we missed something here.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to tell.
But, the defenseman was not interested in fighting, and Harvey was and kept on wailing away and got a 5 in a game for his efforts. And then after that, while they were trying to sort that out, did you see what happened with Kom wanting to fight Joel Martin?
Gave him the challenge.
But did something precipitate that? Was Martin gesturing to him or something?
They're goalies.
I didn't see anything.
Nothing has to happen. They're goalies.
They're weird.
Just, yeah.
So he just wanted to go. And,
yep.
Yeah, that would have been our first ever goalie fight at home.
Yep.
Ever.
That would have been
There's been like 4 or 5 of them in franchise history, but they've all been on the road.
Yep.
So
they're fun.
So anyway.
Especially when you have Mike Clemente. Oh, Nelly.
After the game, the Maniac fan base insanity level actually remained at guarded.
That's probably because of the post-game skate.
Yeah, exactly.
People couldn't get right to Facebook and mess everything up.
The Asylum stayed calm, and like Monday, I think, I sent Rick a message and said, you're slacking. You haven't raised the alert level. And he said, no, that was a calculated decision. It did not go up because the asylum actually remained fairly calm after the victory. And he said he thought part of it was because we scored a couple goals in the third period and then the Harvey thing and calm. So people had stuff that were entertaining to them, at least, even if the team did not win. But, yeah, I chimed in and said I think that the post-game skate reminded everyone that they're all great guys. So, you know.
Yep.
That settled the masses just a tad.
Maybe
so we're
Coach
still...
Mullen should have went to the post game skate.
Yeah. Did you see the comment I think Bill Montgomery posted on the Asylum about what his son said to Meisner? I think his son went up to Meisner during the post game skate and said, "I want to be a goalie," and Meisner said, "No, you don't." So. Anyway, Saturday was our first chance to see Daniel Johnston at home. I thought he was very aggressive offensively. He pinched in and was joining the rush a lot.
Friday.
Yes.
Any thoughts on his game, what you saw of him?
He's obviously healed from whatever ailment...
you gave him?
Yeah.
That's very
Not
true.
Not that I gave him, that yeah. I deduced in my mad speculation.
You said deuce.
I said deduced. So,
yeah.
Yep.
He
looked good.
He jumped into the play a lot.
But
which, you know,
when you're down 4-0, you're allowed
to
jump
you.
Yep.
Yeah. Something else Amanda actually noticed during that game on Friday that Brandon Kamm actually wears a black glove on his glove hand under the catching glove. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Have you
ever
seen
it before?
That?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. It's like a baseball glove, like the baseball batting glove.
Yeah, like the batting glove.
Yeah, I think just for a little bit more either padding when that slap shot comes in or
it stings.
You sweat so much in your gloves. That's the crazy thing that people don't realize, how much you sweat in your feet, in your skates, and in your gloves. Mm-hmm. And so it may be a thing where that glove can get gooey and sticky and slide a little bit, so it may give them a little bit more grip.
And if you don't believe it, just go find one and give it a good sniff after a game. Because they're pretty rank. And the last thing on in the Friday game, that was Blizzard's birthday with mascot, Broomball, and
Wilmer. I am how no one didn't break something.
Uh-huh.
Like, I like the icicles playing, but Broomball is played in boots.
Yeah.
He was born on the ponds of Minnesota and Michigan and everywhere else, and you run around in boots and slide and play with a broom.
Yeah.
And they have, like, professional brooms now
with
their plastic ends. You don't put the icicles on rental skates.
No.
Holy moly. And they put on the Jumbotron, that one crashing and
over
mascots
and over
running.
Again.
And oh, that was, I thought for sure we were going to have a broken leg or a broken coccyx.
I was a little worried too because, it was Blizzard and the icicles against all the other mascots. And I did enjoy when Evan the Otter ran over or ran into one of the icicles, and then Blizzard and Evan fought.
Yep,
that was and then they hugged it out. That was nice, but I was too worried to fully enjoy it because I was just waiting for one of the icicles to go down and crack her head open on the ice, and
so,
was having visions of blood puddles.
It was a really good game.
It sounds like a metal song.
Yep,
blood puddles.
Yes,
I was enjoying the game. I wished. Rickard, he's such a prima donna. He could have cut like his intros in half. We could have seen another 2 minutes of hockey.
Yeah,
of Broomball.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it didn't help that he was clearly confused because he's always confused, but he was more confused than
his
usual.
His taters were in a bunch.
Yeah, he was more confused than usual because half the mascots that were on his list weren't there.
Yeah, they were
so
by
he'd
the
say,
door.
And welcome such and such, and he'd turn around and nobody came out. So yeah, that kind of threw the timing off too.
Wasn't sure if the actual Ottawa Senators were excited that their Ottawa Senator mascot showed up wearing jean shorts or whatever he was wearing, too. Not quite sure that was authentic.
He was in full costume later.
Oh, he just didn't want to play in full costume?
I guess.
Got it. Like we said before, Stephen Rickard, the Nathan Moon of this show. Shockers, Hockey Rocks Song of the Week.
10 years ago, this past Monday, the 8th, in 2004... Dimebag Darrell, the guitarist for Pantera and Damage Plan, was murdered during a concert in Columbus, Ohio. He was actually a big hockey fan, for those that don't know. He and Pantera recorded a song called Puck Off, that's with a P, for the Dallas Stars in 1999, and nowadays they actually use it as their goal song. So this week's song is a tune that I used to play during warm-ups at Swander. It's a song that started as a simple guitar riff that Dimebag Darrell played as a sound check at concerts. Apparently the rest of the band loved the sound of it, so they developed it into a full song, and it turned into this. From 1993, this is Pantera, Walk.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Shocker. Dirty D. Wired.
See,
96.9 FM Iceman Insights.
It was an electrical explosion.
It was. Is that what it was?
Yes. Well, that should be the name of the show. Welcome back to the electrical explosion.
That sounds like a disco show.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Coming up, Blood Pool.
Yes. Blood Puddle of Blood. Blood Puddle? What was it?
Puddle of Mud is the
Yeah, band. I know, but I thought the icicle crashing on the mascot.
It was Blood Puddle.
Blood Puddle. Mad speculation by the mad scientist, Dr. Dirty D.
Yes, 100% free of facts, because the truth hurts way more than making stuff up. To recap, Peter Sakara said somnambulism. The treatment was an antiseptic bloodbath.
It worked.
Daniel Johnston had gelatinous tubercles of purulent ossification.
That he was... He's better.
Yes. Zach Sternberg continues an on-and-off battle with a bad case of officium defunctorum. The ongoing treatment is stereotaxic atrocities. And last week we found out that Peter Sakaris took a hit to the brain bone with spectrophobic dementia. The treatment was being immersed in earthenware pots to produce absolute body quiescence. And lo and behold, he came back.
How about that?
Exactly. So, our newest case, sir, put on your lab jacket and diagnose this. As mentioned before, Tom Ceratori was traded to the Cincinnati Cyclones on Saturday. His last game with the Icemen was last Friday against Kalamazoo, but before that, he had missed 5 straight games, and we didn't know he was injured, but I caught the pregame on last Wednesday's radio broadcast and during the injury report, which they're doing again now. Mr. Patafi said that Ceratori was close to returning, that he would probably return on Friday, and he did. But he didn't actually say what had been Mr. Ceratori's problem. So, Mr. Dirty D, what was Mr. Ceratori's ailment?
Yeah, and nothing against Brian Patafi, but he's a member of the Iceman organization, and you don't want to go on record for what Tom Ceratori was struggling with.
Other than that, it was just a body injury.
Yes. But seeing as how I am not a member of the Iceman organization, I am free to speculate as will. And Tom Ceratori was struggling with leprosy.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
So, and as we all know, the cure for leprosy, or at least the test for leprosy, is 7 games complete isolation. So he went 5 games with complete isolation, 7 days, and there was it was indeed not leprosy. So, but because of the potential for leprosy, he had to be put on the shelf for that long.
Did you did you hear about the game of hockey that involved 2 teams full of lepers?
Mm-mm.
There was a face-off in the corner.
Oh, God, I'm telling you, just stick to the notes. Just stick to you and me. I say things like beaver tail. Everyone giggles. You, no, not so good.
I don't know that everyone giggles. Yes. Somewhere there's a person who has a pet beaver who's really not finding it funny.
The Hoosier Hockey Championship belt, the greatest idea you have ever had that has become completely irrelevant. But go ahead. Let's waste 2 minutes.
Last Wednesday's game between the Icemen and Fuel was a non-title affair, so the fact that the Icemen lost didn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things.
What you need to do now, it was a great idea, but it's not working. So you need to do what Worldwide Wrestling figured out years ago. You need multiple belts. You need an intercontinental champion.
For the non-title matches?
You've got to have the Intercontinental, you've got to have the Heavyweight Championship belt, and then you have the Hoosier Hockey Championship belt. Each one of the teams has those, and then you can have a unification bout.
Oh.
So, like, when the Icemen play Fort Wayne, and then, like, if the Icemen lose a belt, and then, seeing as how they've lost more belts than they've won so far this year, then you just make up a new belt, and you give it to the Icemen, so then you have another belt. So there's always a belt up for grabs.
I am so confused.
Trust me.
So
get with Vince McMahon. He'll explain it all to you.
Saturday in Indy, the Fort Wayne Comets beat the Fuel 5-1 to successfully retain the title against Indy for the 4th time. And the attendance there in Indy on a Saturday night against the Comets was just 36-23. That's not going to be good for their bottom line if that's the best they can do on a Saturday night against the Comets.
I don't understand why you people worry about it.
That's what they're banking on. But then again, they got all this money from Indiana Farmers now.
Exactly.
Their building sponsors.
They got a 5-year contract with the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Guess what? That organization's going to be fine.
Yeah. So up next, the Icemen finally get their first shot at the title belt this Friday when the Comets come to town. It will be 8 weeks to the day from when the Comets first won it on the first day of the season. And the title will be on the line again in the rematch on Saturday, also at the Ford Center. So finally, now it will become relevant to us because we're actually...
To you.
The belt
It'll
is on the line.
Become relevant to you.
And maybe one or two other people.
Are you counting Evan?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. And Ivy. Visit IcemanManiacs.com and click on the championship belt graphic to find game results, title reign info, and schedule details, as well as the soon-to-be-announced Intercontinental Belt Champion. Oh, crap in the BS. It's back.
Yeah.
I like it.
Haven't done it in a while.
And
so.
I'm glad you finally gave up naming it Sens Army and blah, blah, blah.
Well, I was
thinking, see they freed Paul McClain?
Yeah.
Lucky for him.
That's what we're going to talk about.
Heck yeah.
Spoiler alert.
He's the happiest man in the world. That is
Nate
Girana.
So the Binghamton Senators, our AHL affiliate, they are trending up after a slow start. They started just 5-8-2 and were dead last in the five-team East Division. But they have since gone 6-1-1 and have improved to third in the division and just 2 points out of a playoff spot. So they're moving in the right direction. Our boy Chris Driedger has 2 of their last 4 wins, including this past Saturday against the Adirondack Flames. And Danny Hobbs also scored a goal in that game. That was his first AHL goal of the season. So some Iceman tie-ins up there in Binghamton as the B-Sens are finally getting it going.
I like it. Those are good players.
Yeah.
It's don't shake your head and freak out when the Icemen lose games when all their players are in the AHL.
Right.
There it is. Danny Hobbs, Driedger, Patrick Kennedy, Mr. President.
Yep.
Yep.
Meanwhile, Ottawa going in the other direction. They started 7-3-3 but have gone just 4-8-2 since, and the bombshell dropped on Monday that, yes, Paul McClain, who has one of the best mustaches in hockey, has been fired as head coach, becoming the first NHL coach to get the axe this season. He won the Jack Adams Award as Coach of the Year just 2 seasons ago.
Most worthless trophy ever.
Last season, they missed the playoffs by 5 points after making it his first 2 seasons with the Sens. And despite missing the playoffs last year, they gave him a new 3-year contract this past summer. And he made it all of 27 games into that new deal. There was rumors of tension with the ownership and the players.
Well, that's no doubt about it.
Yeah. And the idea of his defense-first philosophy not coming to fruition, and since they've allowed the second most shots in the NHL, it's proof's in the stats, I guess, in that respect. But, yes, he probably has to be happy to be out of there because it's a team that expects a lot with not much. The Sens actually have the lowest payroll in the NHL.
I did not know that.
Bobby Ryan and Erik Karlsson are the only players on their roster making more than $4 million a year. So that's 2 players. For comparison's sake, the Blackhawks and Bruins have 8 each. Your beloved Toronto Maple Leafs, my beloved St. Louis Blues, and even the Columbus Blue Jackets have 7 each. And even the notoriously frugal Nashville Predators have 4. But Ottawa only had 2. So we talked about this last week when the Gwinnett Gladiators fired their coach here in the ECHL. If you have crappy ingredients, can you blame the chef if the meal sucks?
The Ottawa situation is just a bad situation. Gene Melnick up there, the owner, it's obvious that he has struggled. Going back, 8 years ago when the NHL had to step in because they couldn't make payroll.
Yeah.
And so they were writing all the checks or else there was thoughts that they were going to have to close the doors. And it was like January 1st or right around Christmas time. There's no doubt Danny Alfredson is their greatest player in team history. And he left. He flat out left because of the ownership and how bad it was and everything else. And it's just a bad organization. I don't feel bad at all. I wish someone would pay me for 3 years and let me get a quarter of the way through it and then fire me so I could work on my golf game too. So, but he'll be fine. And I something had to go on there besides record because it is way too. How do you give a guy a 3-year contract and then and then fire him after 27 games. So obviously there's something else going on, and they haven't been playing that bad.
No.
I mean, I think they're only 2 points behind Toronto.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're not far out of the playoff race. No. They're not looking like a likely playoff team or anything, but they're not.
That's still early. They're not even reached the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, Danny Alfredson left 2 years ago. Jason Spezza left this past year. And it's going to take a little bit of time to fill those gaps in. So.
I liked the one of the stories on Yahoo was saying that the problem was they're going after Connor McDavid without being as blunt about it like the Sabres have been. And McLean was winning too many games and ruining their plan, so they had to get him out of town.
See, but even like Buffalo, you can talk about tanking for McDavid and everything else, but I mean, they made trades and brought in high-priced free agents over the summer. Yeah. So you can't.
Part of that was they had to get up to the floor. Like when free agent frenzy started, they were like $25 million below the floor. So they had to throw crazy money at guys just to get up within the legal realm. And I think they are the next salary up ahead of Ottawa. Gotcha. They're only like $500,000 higher than Ottawa. So clearly there are certain teams that know they're not going anywhere great soon. So they're not going to be bashful about sucking. So it's not suck for luck like the Colts did a few years ago. They're, I don't know what they're calling it, crashing for Connor.
Yeah, but going back to your initial question, I see this totally different than the Gwinnett issue.
It's different. It's similar, but it's
a coach still getting fired, but that coach that you just gave a 3-year contract to and you fire him 27 games into the season when you're 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah.
That there's something else going on here.
And this coach is not the GM, so he didn't have the same control over roster building that an ECHL coach who is also the GM has.
Right, and that's really weird, too, because you know Brian Murray became public about 6 months ago, or 6 weeks ago, that he's got stage 4 cancer and everything else. So why the big, you would think that an organization would want stability through what's going to be a very difficult time over the next year and a half, but who knows?
Yeah.
Weird.
Agreed.
Real men of genius. Yes, we are.
Yeah. That's end of segment. Yes. our new Real Men of Genius. This is in honor of Garrett Bartus signing with the Fort Wayne Comets.
Lord Bartus.
Yes. Shall we say there are certain members of the Iceman fan base.
Women. What?
There are certain members of gender non-specific people in the Iceman fan base who have a very deep and some might say unhealthy passion for certain Iceman players and former Iceman players.
Yes.
And this passion seems to be most targeted toward goaltenders.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me texting Krug.
Well, that's a whole different thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that. But I guess you could fall into this in a way.
Yes.
If you really want to be. So
I think I really am.
In honor of Bartus and his super fans, who will probably be looking all over the building to try to find him this weekend, this is our tribute to Mr. Super Creepy Player Stalker Guy. Iceman Insights presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Super Creepy Player Stalker Guy.
Mr. Super Creepy Player Stalker Guy.
Your team just signed a new backup goalie, so you give him a warm welcome. On Twitter, on Facebook, even at the airport.
He smiled when he saw me.
When the starter gives up a goal late in a blowout victory, you call for the hook. It's time to see your new favorite player in action.
It's his time to shine.
He doesn't actually play, but that's okay. You'll still post 74 fuzzy pictures of him riding the bench on Facebook, and you'll tag him in every last one.
He's really a great guy.
So we salute you, oh purveyor of passion. Because you know it's not true love until he files for a restraining order.
Mr. Super Creepy Player Stalker Guy.
IcemanManiac.com, WIIR, Evansville, Indiana.
Youth Inc. has been an outreach to inner city and area youth for over 20 years. Home of a coffee house, a vintage store, radio station, and music venue, Youth Inc. has run solely on the donations of supporters. Donation is easy, online, and secure. Visit our website, wiredwiredwired.com. Click to donate and join our Youth Inc. family of supporters.
Now, Iceman Insights with Michael Shockley.
And Daddy.
And here we go. Final segment, Iceman Insights. Shockley, Benigni, Wired. The Johnny.
I like that. I think I'm going to keep that.
I guess so.
Wait, we have breaking news.
Oh, breaking news from Dixie Helber. Go ahead. I don't even remember the guy's name anymore. Defenseman Brandon Martell has been traded to the Evansville Icemen from the Rapid City Rush. This is in payment of the chuck they owed us.
From the Dylan Clark trade.
From the Dylan Clark trade.
So now our chuck plus minus is just minus one.
Oh, we're going in the right direction.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
So Rapid City. That's
no, wait. It's now minus three. I went the wrong direction. It's now minus three because that's one of the ones that we get that's...
Rapid
Gone.
City, also where Jake Obermeyer plays.
I thought that was Tulsa City.
So we had a defenseman coming in. Skating down memory lane, the Johnny Kells-inspired segment.
Indeed. The date, Friday, December 16th, 2011. That was during our second CHL season, which was the first year at the Ford Center. It was the third annual Iceman Teddy Bear Toss, the only one of the five we've done so far that involved the Fort Wayne Comets as the opposition. In that game, Nick Schneider scored in the second period to send the stuffed animals flying, and we collected over 1,700 of them, which was our new record at the time, and has since been broken. The past 2 years, it's been broken each year. Brian Bisek also scored twice in that game, and the Icemen led 3-2 after two, but Fort Wayne scored three unanswered goals down the stretch to win 5-3. It's actually the only time we've ever lost in regulation on Teddy Bear Toss Night. We are 3-1-1 all time, and we have won the last two. Both of the ECHL era Teddy Bear Tosses have been victories. So hopefully that streak will continue this coming weekend. We'll get more to the Teddy Bear Toss in a bit.
I did three Teddy Bear Tosses last year. As broadcaster of the Iceman.
Here, Toledo and Fort Wayne? Yeah.
No, I think it was somewhere south, I think. Maybe South Carolina. Mm. But after I did the first one, well, the first two, I realized, wow, you've got a lot of time you got to kill on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So I had prepared, with it being the holiday season and everything else, my favorite holiday movie of all time is The Nightmare Before Christmas, and we have it in book form for reading to Ivy, and my plan was to take it on the bus to Toledo, and when the Teddy Bear Toss happened, I was going to read it to the radio audience.
And it would be a nice little hidden message to your lovely daughter.
Well, yes, but it would just be with the, instead of just saying, oh, look at the teddy bears, oh, there's a big teddy bear, oh, look at the guy sweeping up the teddy bears, we would be spending that time doing, you know, efficiently, wisely using the time and
right.
Letting all the kiddos get a nice little bedtime story. So, but I forgot the book.
So then what did you do?
I got fired. Oh, yeah.
That was why.
So I talked about, oh, look at all the players out there moving all the pucks around. Sucky radio. Hockey 101.
We are going to help Iceman fans, new and old alike, understand the game a little bit better. This one is from Chris Edwards. He asked me, if play is stopped by a penalty or a puck out of play, how is the location of the ensuing faceoff determined?
Ah, that's a good question.
Yeah.
For a puck out of play, where it was last legally touched, and it depends who touches it, though. If the attacking team is in the offensive zone and they shoot it without deflection out of the net, then they are penalized via location, and that moves back out in neutral zone. If it deflects off a stick, a goalie makes a save, then it stays in the faceoff circle. NHL, ECHL, their rule book's a little bit different than what you'll see over at Swander and USA Hockey. They can only do faceoffs at the 9 specified face-off locations.
Correct.
Two in the defensive zone, four neutral ice, or one at center ice.
Right. And it didn't used to be that way. It used to be that you could have a face-off anywhere
along in the imaginary
in the line of the dots.
Yep.
But that became too much of a gray area, I guess. So they just decided we're going to clean the rule book up a little bit, and it's going to be at the closest dot.
And it's not the closest dot because a team can never gain territorial advantage.
That's true.
So
yes.
It is
with
moved,
puck out of play, right?
Yes, with the puck out of play, it moves back to the closest puck. So
the closest dot
to the dot
between where the puck was shot and their own net, essentially.
Yes.
But yes, it is based on puck out of play. It's based on where the puck was released from the stick,
not
from where it goes out over the glass.
Yes.
So because a lot of times that can be a big difference.
Yep. Yeah. So someone dumps it in, like just crosses the red line, fires the puck, and you see it every once in a while. They hit it right on the dasher, which is that part of the board right at the ledge where the board meets the glass,
mm-hmm.
and then that puck goes careening out. Well, then your face-off has to go to center ice because it isn't where it touched the glass and the board.
Right.
It's where it was last legally played with the shot.
Right. And penalty.
Penalty, this rule changed about 5-6 years ago.
I think it's been more than that probably at this point. But it has not always been how it currently is.
But now to help increase scoring, anytime there is a penalty that leads to a power play situation, the faceoff is in the attacking zone for the power play team.
Right. And I want to say it might have been out of the last, not this most recent lockout, but the one before that, 04-05 or whenever that the second Gary Bettman lockout was.
It's not Gary Bettman. Don't blame it on Gary Bettman.
The second owner's lockout.
There you go.
Right. I think it was coming out of that one that the NHL changed that rule, and then the minors all followed suit.
Yep.
But yeah, it did not used to be that way. It used to be that if you took a penalty in the offensive zone, which drives coaches crazy, then the faceoff would just come out of the zone.
Yep,
into
to
the
neutralize.
Neutral zone. Yep. But now it goes all the way down into your own end. It's just another one of the ways that they try to, I guess, increase the penalty of taking a penalty. So, it hasn't always been that way. But yeah, that does drive coaches crazy. If you take, not only are you taking the penalty, but you're basically flipping the ice by going from one end to the other. And I saw that, was watching the Preds game over the weekend at some point. Mike Ribeiro took a little hooking call behind the net in the offensive zone. It's Laviolette had to be just steam coming out of his ears because that drives coaches nuts. You never want to take a penalty in the offensive zone.
So, yeah, good question, Chris Edwards. Two different, completely different answers. Out-of-play situation where it was last legally played without a team gaining territorial advantage due to the 9 face-off dots. And if it's a penalty that leads to a power play, it is in the offensive zone for the power play team.
Right.
Superior team.
One thing on that note, and this confuses a lot of people, why you'll see at times there will be sustained pressure in an offensive zone. And say the right defenseman, who is to the goaltender's left, takes a shot, and the goaltender makes the save and freezes it, and the stoppage occurs. Then the ensuing faceoff takes place on the other side of the ice to the goaltender's right. Why is that?
A linesman screwed up.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Because I could have sworn I've never seen anything in the rule book that says it should change sides, but you see that every now and then where the stoppage happens and the players all go to the side they think it should be on and the linesman's skating over to the other side and everyone's confused.
Yeah, when that it gets confusing when you got the D moving and everything else, but it's where the shot originated from, not where the goalie covers it. So if it's shot from the goalie's left and that goalie makes that save and the rebound trickles to the right, his right, and he jumps on it, it should still be on the left side of the goalie because that's where the shot originated from. Now, if he makes that save and then it goes to the right, and then his defenseman touches it into him, or another attacking player gets a little bit of a shot, then
that's
it
a
moves
different
to,
possession, yes, technically. So yeah,
that is another legal touch of the puck. So that's where. So you divide that ice in half right down the middle of the ice, and where that shot originates from, not where the save is made, is where the faceoff should happen.
You see that same thing with icing sometimes. The team will ice the puck from the left of their goalie, and for whatever reason, the faceoff ends up to the right of the goalie. And it just sometimes it seems like the linesman just decide, we're going to change things up a little bit and go the other way. But to my knowledge, at least, unless the ECHL has added something to the rule book, and I looked at the icing rule at the start of the season for something else, and I don't remember seeing anything about it, about changing the side for any reason.
Yep.
So I think it should be a certain way, but sometimes it doesn't get enforced that
well,
way.
Well, and
not with the man crush, though. No, he knows what he's doing.
That's right. To bring up Chris Edwards' question again, though, is if that say that penalty does occur in the offensive zone, the offensive team is attacking, they lose control of the puck, and then they hook a player, and they may hook them on the right wing side, but because of the delayed penalty situation, as the other team plays the puck around, say the penalty is against the Iceman, it's where the Iceman touched the puck is where that ensuing faceoff, left wing side or right wing side. So it may be, you know, say Brandon Wong boarded someone in the right wing corner, but if the Iceman finally gained possession to stop the delayed penalty to cause the power play on the left wing side, that faceoff will happen in the left wing side in the Iceman zone.
Right. Because it applies to the same general rule as wherever
last
the puck is
touched.
Played that results in the whistle.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. Upcoming games.
The 6-game homestand continues with 2 games this weekend, both against those evil Fort Wayne Comets.
Suck.
They have won 5 straight coming to town.
You know what I want for Christmas?
What?
Don Breck to buy me a Matt Krug Fort Wayne Comets jersey.
The Comets have the league's best record at 16-4-0. They have played 12 games against sub-500 teams, and they're 11-1 in those games, so that's helped their record a tad, but they're a good hockey team. And, of course, we're below
sub-500 team.
Right, exactly. We are below 500 as well, so, hopefully that's not a sign of things to come. This weekend will be the first and second of just 3 visits by the Comets this season, and the third one is coming up, too, the day after Christmas. So
hoping to bring my parents to that
one.
We
won't see them any after the turn of the new year until the playoffs.
My parents, big Christina Krug fans. It's true.
Yes, Matt Krug will be returning to Evansville for the first time this weekend. He has 1 assist, is +2, and has 9 penalty minutes in 8 games with the Comets this season. And as mentioned earlier, it will now also be Garrett Bartus's return.
Got a moral dilemma question for you.
Okay, hit me.
So when Matt and I roomed together, he wasn't married yet.
Mm-hmm.
So if something should happen between Friday and Saturday night and we end up rooming together, am I a homewrecker?
Yes.
Ah.
Not only would you be homewrecking the Krugs, you would also be homewrecking Man Crush linesman, who we won't name, and me, by extension. So you'd be just wrecking homes all over the Midwest.
That would be awesome. Okay.
Loser.
Back to Kaylee Schrock.
So, one person who will not be on the ice this weekend is Comets captain Kaylee Schrock. He is out for at least a month having surgery because during a fight on Saturday at Indy, he suffered not one, not two, but 3 different fractures in his face during the fight.
He broke his face bone.
Yeah. He had a broken orbital bone, a fracture in his temple, and a fracture in his forehead. So he got the fractured face hat trick. That's, ouch. I don't care what you think of the guy. That's not good. That's worse than, that might not be worse than leprosy, but.
No.
So, he will not be on the ice this weekend. Friday's game is at 7:15, and as mentioned before, the Hoosier Hockey Championship belt will be on the line, and the promotion that night is, what would you do for $1,000? What crazy thing would you do for $1,000?
I don't know. I don't care that much about money. I don't even have a job for $1,000. Why would I do anything weird for it? Honestly, one of the things that I've been offered to do that really sounds like fun. And if Andy Fuller hears this on the radio, he's not going to be happy with me. But I have had friends that work for the prosecuting department for the different counties around mm-hmm. here, and they actually look for volunteers to get drunk. And what they do is they put you in a safe environment and they get you supposedly any alcohol you want. But as you drink, you have to do tests like mechanic abilities and...
So it's research.
It is. It is literally... They look for volunteers to do research so that they can train police officers in what to expect from intoxicated people. And they like supply everything and you get to drink all night long. You get to get stupid, silly drunk for doing your civic duty.
And then they take you home because you drink and drive.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. It's to... so that they have a better idea of people who are drinking driving, both in their motor skills, their verbal skills, and everything mm-hmm. else. So I don't even need $1,000 for that. I just need some really good whiskey. I'm interested to see how this one pans out.
Yeah. I'm sure they've gotten some suggestions that are not fit for public eyeballs.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know what I would...
Probably half, you know what half would, of them.
I would donate $100 towards and find 9 other guys to give $1,000 on ice brawl superstars v fur circus. Blood puddle.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
And then on Saturday, 7:15 is the face-off time again. Hoosier Hockey Championship on the line again.
To mention the Intercontinental.
Yeah. As mentioned, it will be the Teddy Bear Toss for 911 Gives Hope. And for those who do not know what the Teddy Bear Toss is, basically when the Icemen score their first goal, you throw stuffed animals onto the ice. And it doesn't have to be a teddy bear. It just needs to be a new or like new, in good shape and clean stuffed animal. They are all collected. They are given to 911 Gives Hope. And then they distribute them to children who are stuck in hospitals during the holidays. So it's an awesome, awesome thing. This will be the 6th year the Icemen have done it, and it's gotten bigger every year. The first year we did it at Swander, there was only about 200 or 300 bears collected, and it's grown and grown and grown. And last year they estimated 2,500, so it has gotten much larger. There are huge teddy bear tosses in other leagues. The Calgary Hitmen in the Western Hockey League, that's a junior team, did theirs this past weekend, and they are pretty much the reigning champs of teddy bear tosses. They collected over 25,000. At one game, and now they've been doing it for about 20 years, so they've had a big head start. But they said that this year's total put them over 300,000 total that they have collected in the 20 years of doing it. So that's really awesome. And ours isn't that big yet, but we still want to keep growing it, and it's an awesome promotion. It's my favorite promotion of the season. Yep. I love the teddy bear toss. Yeah, and I've said it before. I'll say it again. You can support two great causes, because if you're not sure where to get teddy bears and you don't want to go out to Walmart or somewhere and pay to get a brand new one, go to Goodwill. They have bins of gently used stuffed animals. You can get them for a quarter, 50 cents, a dollar a piece. So you can get a garbage bag full of 20 or 30 of these things for 10 or 15 bucks. And then you're supporting not only Goodwill, but you're also supporting 911 Gives Hope. So
there you go.
It's awesome, and the Icemen are doing something new this year. If you take a teddy bear or stuffed animal to the Ford Center box office on game day on Saturday, you can get a $10 upper bowl ticket to the game. So they're also offering a discount for it, so that's cool too.
I like it. And a tailgate party.
Yeah, and a tailgate party before the game. D. Patrick Downtown is hosting a tailgate party, and that's within walking distance of the Ford Center. From 4 to 7 p.m., they're having free hot dogs and free face painting. So right now, the forecast I saw last is looking pretty decent, probably talking upper 40s to maybe low 50s. So should be nice weather.
Brad Perkins doesn't have to paint his own face.
Yeah, he can get somebody else to do it.
Ooh, the dangling tangent. We need to change this to the beaver tail.
So on Monday, General Mills announced that it is bringing back French Toast Crunch cereal, which was previously offered from 1995 to 2006. And in doing so, they did what Kim Kardashian could not and broke the internet, because it was floating all over the place on Monday that French Toast Crunch was coming back. So my dangling tangent question for you, not involving beaver tail, what is your favorite cereal?
Grape Nuts.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yep.
Seriously?
Yep. Nothing better than a big old bowl of Grape Nuts. And you got to put like 7 times the amount of milk just to soggy them up a little bit.
So you like soggy nuts in your mouth?
I really hope Andy Fuller's not listening to segment three.
So. I'm talking about the nuts and grape nuts. Yeah, I don't know what exactly. Where'd your brain go?
I don't like sweet stuff. You know what I like to put
so
in
then
grape
why
nuts?
Did you marry bananas. Rebecca if you don't like sweet stuff?
Because I like whores.
I really hope Andy Fuller did not listen to this. Wow. This has been our last show, ladies and germs.
Dang it, I should have said I really like beaver tail.
Oh, boy.
What's your favorite cereal?
Beaver tail.
There's no cereal called that. You got to go to Ottawa.
Beaver tail crunch?
Beaver tail crunch.
Yeah. That's the next one. I think I have two. My it's hard to pick. It just depends on which flavor I'm wanting, but I really like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm not a big fan of the French Toast Crunch, but I really like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. And my other one is Frosted Krispies. Not Rice Krispies, but the Frosted Krispies version that you can't get very many places. Walmart sells it in
There's
a couple
a difference
other places.
Between French Toast Crunch and Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yes. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is very cinnamony, and French Toast Crunch is more syrupy, maple syrupy flavored.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch is... I really like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I'm not a big fan of the French Toast Crunch. I tried it thinking I would like it and was not a fan, but to each his own.
I guess so.
It's no beaver tail.
It is not. Final thoughts.
Next show is next week, the 17th, and that will be our last show of this calendar year because
yes,
we're taking
be.
Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve off.
Indeed, we are.
So, there you have it.
And I'll have a bunch of stories about my parents being in town. Your parents coming into town?
No. They've been to town 5 times in the last 6 months. And
that's it. Doors are locked.
Yeah, exactly. The locks have been changed. Awesome. We're moving and not telling them.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster for IcemanManiacs.com. For all the information about your beloved Evansville Iceman, you can check out IcemanManiacs.com. And this is Iceman Insights, hosted every week, except for when we're on vacation, 96.9 FM Wired Radio.
See you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.